everybody, and welcome to the inaugural episode of My Eulogies, Please. My name is Shelly Stoker, and I am going to be your host. We are coming to you straight out of Final Destination's funeral home and crematorium.
I really think you should change that name.
And that voice of negativity belongs to my co-host, Bob Walton, a.k.a. Beelzebub.
Nobody's ever called me that before.
Well, maybe not to your face, but everyone else who works here calls you that.
You don't have any other employees.
Well, I call you that, and that makes me everybody else.
Fine, I'll just go.
Well, you're on the clock.
This is an internship. You don't even pay me.
So if you don't do the show, I guess you won't get the credit then, huh?
Fine.
All right, listeners. With Final Destinations being the premier funeral facility and cremation station in town.
The only one in town.
We thought that we would do something fun. We get so many unique clients. We get asked to do some of the most exclusive funerals. And the fun idea we had...
I had no part in this.
We had was to introduce you to all of the stars of the services.
The bodies?
The eulogizers.
You ask them to be on your little podcast as they're planning their family's funerals?
I may have put mics in the parlor.
Oh, you bugged the parlor?
You know what they say, right? Hot mics, cold bodies, right?
Just stop.
Just a little funeral humor for people out there. Well, our first guest is going to be Catherine Papagenie.
Are they really guests if they didn't say yes to this?
Yes, our first guest is here honoring motel mogul Norman Bates.
My name is Catherine Papagenie. My family filled the vending machines at the Bates Motel for years. Today, I am here to help say goodbye for one final time to my best friend, Norman Bates. I look around this room and I see many faces of birds with glorious beaks, focused eyes, and gentle nature. Norman loved stuffing and stitching and mounting. Well done. When it came to the vending machines, Norman loved sweets, and he loved candy corn. More candy corn, Kathy. For most people, candy corn is a Halloween candy, but not Norman. With Norman, every day was Halloween. Especially after his mother killed her lover and then herself. Norman really took to what the kids call nowadays cosplay. Nobody transformed like Norman did. When he dove into a character, it's like the character took over and there was no more Norman. It was impressive. I miss Norman. It's the little things you miss. Like how he was sensitive to smells. Yeah, Norman thought the smell of damp was creepy. That's how he described it. Creepy. I like how Norm saw things. Like through a small hole in the wall where you think there is just no way you are going to see anything, but where Norman could see everything. Through a tiny hole, Norman would see a world of passion, inspiration, motivation. May we all be as motivated as Norman. What I like most about my good friend Norm is how skilled he was at solving problems. I think about that sometimes when I check myself into cabin one and I see how pristine the tile is, how white the grout is, even after, well, after multiple stabbings. When I stroll by the swamp, I think about Norman's creative mind. I look at the swamp and I see a swamp, but my friend Norman saw a two-car garage. Norman left us too soon. We had plans, Norman and I, to expand our vending machine contract to shower curtains and pantyhose. You would be surprised how often those are needed in the motel business. Goodbye, Norman Bates. Every time I hurriedly ascend a flight of stairs, I will think of you, Norman, and of your childhood home, of how you taught me, and I think all who knew you, that sometimes the best way to be mothered is to mother oneself. Rest in peace, Norman Bates.
Wow.
That was powerful, right?
I guess that's one word for it. Do you feel good about yourself knowing that you're sharing people's personal moments?
Well, it looks like Norman didn't want a late checkout. Right. Now I feel
good
about
it. Please stop.
You're right. We have to keep the show going. Our next guest today is paying tribute to the bounty hunter whose name we know but face we don't. Boba Fett. Here's Malkley.
We lost a lot because of the senseless act of terrorism we suffered. We've lost coworkers and colleagues. We've lost friends and families. We've lost our pets. Oh, my sweet baby, Batista. Keep it together, Malkley. You got this. And don't think I hear you grumbling in the back, Gamorreans. Yeah, Batista ate Greg, but he should have read the fine print in the contract when he hired in. It clearly states the exalted job of the Hutt will not be held liable in the event of any death or injury that happens to any employee who stands on or near the trapdoor leading to the Rancor pit. Don't get mad at my Rancor. The only thing she ate all week was that Ula girl, and she barely had any meat on her bones. This isn't about that. We're honoring Boba Fett today. Clone son of Jango, friend of the late Bosk, and lover to Ristal the Dancer. Yeah, let's definitely throw a funeral for him instead of any of the other 83 dear friends who lost their lives aboard the Katana and the skiffs. One mass funeral for them and another separate one to honor this guy? Why? Because he was a snappy dresser? All right, pull it together, Malkley. This isn't the time or place for this. Okay. All right. Boba Fett was a respected bounty hunter throughout the galaxy. Everyone knew his name, from the core systems all the way here to the Outer Rim. His reputation preceded him. When he agreed to take holiday with us here at Jabba's Palace, I know I speak for a lot of us when I say, we felt safe. You know, I just can't do this. We all lost a lot, but I lost even more. Garan the Nikto was aboard the Katana. He was the only one of you jerks who comforted me when that terrorist Luke Skywalker killed my sweet baby Batista. And I get it, guys. Everyone liked Greg the Gamorrean. He was a fun guy, but we all know he was clumsy. Half of you don't even know my name. Half of you just refer to me by my job, like, oh, there's the Rancor Keeper. And Boba Fett, our great protector? Come on, really? We're going to commemorate a guy who couldn't handle getting tapped on the shoulder by a blind guy? Respected bounty hunter? Bantha Poodoo! I have an Ugnaught friend on Bespin who told me Darth Vader and the Star Troopers did all the heavy lifting. Boba Fett stood around whining, what if I do if he doesn't survive? Listen, I don't want to get sidetracked with conspiracy theories, but that Luke Skywalker terrorist, there are rumors he's Darth Vader's son. Yeah, that's right. He's also the guy who blew up the Death Star. Inside job. And where did Skywalker grow up? Right here on Tatooine, just on the other side of the Dune Sea. Pretty weird coincidence, if you ask me. I think this whole thing was a plot by the Empire to take down small business owners like Jabba the Hutt. And I think Boba Fett was in on it, too. Yeah, that's right. My Ugnaught friend told me that the entire Bespin thing was actually a plot to get the Skywalker dude. Boba Fett didn't even think to mention that when the Skywalker guy marched right into the palace. How do I know that? But Bib Fortuna, Jabba's major domo, didn't. Bib, isn't your job to be aware of this kind of stuff? Here's another conspiracy. Reese said that he and Greg overheard Bib Fortuna tell Jabba that that Skywalker guy was no Jedi. Really? Because he sure seemed pretty handy with the lightsaber for a guy who's no Jedi. What if someone pushed Greg into Batista's pit to keep him silent, huh? What about that? And who helped the rebel terrorist? Our new hire, Kando Lalrizian, who turned out to be Lando Calrissian, administrator of Bespin. And who hired him? Bib Fortuna. You didn't do a background check, man? 525 was an inside job. Listen, I'm not going to stand here and say a few kind words about Boba Fett, or should I say Boba Fraud, when we lost so many greater comrades in this act of terror. We lost the core of the Max Rebo band. No offense to you, Joe Yowza, but I liked their older stuff better when they were still a trio. When Garan and I got married, we danced to Lapti Neck at our wedding. And we lost Salacious B. Crumb. Yeah, Greg the Gamorrean was funny and everything, but he was no Salacious B. Crumb. Yeah, but let's definitely waste our time today honoring Boba Fett and then have one memorial for everyone else. Most of you didn't even know my beloved Garan's name. You just called him Nikto. There are like a half a dozen Niktos working here. Okay, there were like a half a dozen Niktos working here. You did that to all the guards, too. You called them all Weequay or Barada. They had names, guys. They had names. That's just racist. I have a dream. I have a dream that one day, a long time from now, in a galaxy far, far away, we won't be judged by the color of our skin, but by the strength of our character. Green lives matter. You know, I'm done. I just can't do this anymore. You know, half of us don't even think that Boba Fett's even really dead.
That was such a wonderful service. Like, do you remember how exotic it was?
Until you got to MC Chris's part, but I see you coincidentally left that out.
Yeah. Moving on.
How many more of these do you have?
Like, maybe enough for a few seasons.
Jesus.
Our next guest is offering their respects to the canine who captured the world's heart. Scooby-Doo. Here's Kristen Cunningham.
Welcome all to this much overdue memorial service for our friend, Scooby-Doo. I know some of you were shocked by his passing, which I believe was the intention of Scooby's well-meaning creators back in the 70s, because Scooby, like a lot of dogs, was obviously replaced quite a few times. So many times, in fact, that at some point it just seemed like it became a game to the creators to see how little Scooby's replacement could actually look like him and still be accepted into our hearts. While to some, Scooby is a concept and not a person, like Santa Claus, I believe it's past time to celebrate the versions of Scooby-Doo who came before. So, I thank you all for gathering here today to celebrate our friend and to say a few words on how Scooby personally touched my life. But before I talk about what Scooby meant to me, let's take a moment of silence for each version of Scooby-Doo. To the original Scooby-Doo, wherever you may be. To the new Scooby-Doo, a veritable movie star. to the Scooby-Doo who watched over his nephew in honor of his sister. To a pup named Scooby-Doo, it was an honor to watch you grow. To the Scooby-Doo that taught us what was new. To the Scooby-Doo whose entrepreneurial spirit led to an incorporation of the gang. Thank you all. Now, for a few personal words about what Scooby-Doo meant to me. Scooby, you were the best of dogs. Nay, the best of friends. When I was sick or stuck in the house during summer vacation, you watched over me as I choked on Werner's bubbles and gummed my mouth closed with saltine crackers. You taught me to mind my own fucking business and about the dangers of riding in a van with nosy friends. You even taught me that it's okay to love your family members, even if they're wildly annoying and a problematic shithead. But also that sometimes it's okay to do that from a distance. You also taught me that it's lucrative to hang out with older white people because statistically, at least one of them will put you in their will. Though I haven't made it into a will yet, I hope to one day make you proud. Scooby, to an asthmatic girl with all the allergies in the entire world. I'm allergic to so many things, you guys. You were the perfect pet. May you rest in power, Scooby-Doo. I hope that your Scooby snacks are endless and condition-free as you mind your own business from above. Thank you all for joining us today to honor our nation's greatest dog, greatest friend, Scoobert-Doo.
Scooby-Doo, where are you? I guess that's more of a spiritual question now, right?
That's not a question anybody's asking or that needs to be answered.
Or does it? Maybe we'll answer it on the next episode.
Wonderful.
You're right, it is wonderful. Almost as wonderful as the final funeral fact of the day.
Please stop.
Shoot for the moon. Even if you'll fail, you'll land among the stars. It's about people shooting their guns into the sky and dying from bullets coming back down.
What did I get myself into?
Hope you join us next time. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of My Eulogies, Please. I've been Sam Rager.
I'm Santiago Iglesias.
And we would like to thank our guests for joining us on this show. Eulogizing Norman Bates was Heather Kosakowski.
Eulogizing Boba Fett was Mike Bobbitt.
Eulogizing Scooby-Doo was Kristen Cunningham. If you would like to know where to check them out or their future projects, you can see the notes section of this podcast below. Also, make sure to subscribe. If you are on the hunt for even more podcasts, make sure to check out heliumcomedy.com for several great suggestions.